I got a few more.
Just stop by.
Weary day and then.
Just stop by.
I gotta move on.
Just stop by.
To my heavenly home.
Just stop by.
I didn't come here.
Just stop by.
I didn't come here to stay.
Just stop by.
Few more riding under the sun.
Just stop by.
Just stop by here.
Just stop by.
Man and born of a woman.
Just stop by.
Bible tell me in just a few days.
Just stop by.
And after a while.
Just stop by.
When my name been called.
Just stop by.
When this old tabernacle done shut down. I gotta move on.
Just stop by.
To my heavenly home.
Just stop by.
I won't have to worry about getting up in the morning.
Stop by.
I won't have to worry about laying down at night.
Just stop by.
It's gonna be day always.
Just stop by.
It won't be no more night.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life in this world would offer me. Looking for some peace in my soul.
Gospel radio, serving all of Senla. At 88.1.
And welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Dangers, toils, and snares have already come. Come on, church, we know it. Come on, let's sing it.
I have.
that brought me safe. Thou small, oh, and great. Lord, now we thank you. We thank you now for this time. We thank you now for this moment. Father, as we come together celebrating 119 years, remembering those that have sacrificed much that this moment may take place. Thank you now. I ask as always that you would speak to me and speak through me, that your word would go forth, that we'd leave here better than when we came because we heard from you. It's our prayer in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. God is good. I said God is good. Amen. In the book of Deuteronomy, thank God for these ministers of music and to this choir. Didn't they do a marvelous job? Let us thank God for them. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Chapter 1, commencing at verse 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you, take your journey, go to the mount of the Amorites unto all the places thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale of the south, by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, and unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I set the land before you. Go in, possess the land, which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them to their seed after them. Again, verse 6, the Lord God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. I want to talk on this thought. We've been here long enough. It's time to move on. Thank you, Ursus. We've been here long enough. It's time to move on. In our passage this morning, the Israelites have taken an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land and turned it into a 40-year experience. The journey to the land of promise was just an 11-day walk, but their disobedience, their walking away from God, has turned 11 days into 40 years. It was the desert entry point to the promised land. And really what they did in the wilderness, they marched around in circles. They passed the entrance to the promised land for 40 years. And your disobedience and your arrogance has got you going around in circles. You're wondering why you're still in the same old rut. Because your mindset has you going around in circles. Mount Zion, the Lord told me to tell you, we've been here long enough. It's time to move forward. 119 years. We've been in this place long enough where we are. It's time to move forward. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of challenges, because they will come. We've got to get out of the mentality that we didn't used to do it that way. This is the year 2022. You did what you could in the 40s to make it work. But let me say, it is 2022. We can't keep doing what we've done in the 40s. We've got to move on to where God wants us to be. Oh, I wish I had somebody to testify. When Jesus came to earth, he was born in a stable, but he kept going till he reached the cross. He didn't stop at the cross, he went in the grave. He didn't stop at the grave, he got up on the third day morning. He didn't stop at the resurrection, he ascended to the Father. He didn't stop at his ascension. He sits on the right hand making intercessions for you and I. He's not going to stop at the right hand in the intercessions. He's coming back again to receive you and me. So God is not satisfied with us just staying where we are. We've been here long enough. It's time to move. Time to move. Israel had been by this mountain, building a tabernacle there. They were training an army and learning God's instructions from the Torah. The word Torah means instructions, and God gave his instructions on how they are to live holy lives. The Israel encamped by Horeb, and there God provided for them. He nurtured them. He gave them nourishment. And everything was good at Horeb. God was supplying all of their needs. But watch this. He said, although you are well supplied here, this is not where I want you to be. You are just on pause, because where I really want you to be, you got to go get it. And see, what's wrong with us, you have gotten your pause mistaken for your promise. Just because he has you in a spot and he's taking care of you here doesn't mean that this is the place he wants you to end up. He's just giving you nourishment to help you move forward. And so we have got confused between the pause and the promise. Mount Zion, for 119 years, he paused you. He took care of us. He fed us. He looked over us. But now he says, you've been here long enough. It's time to move forward. But one thing you need to understand, the generation that God is talking to in the text, hear me good, is not the same generation that left Egypt. That generation died off because God got that generation out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out the generation. And for them to move forward, there had to be some funerals. Look, my brother, sister, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Don't stand in God's way of progression, because God has so many ways of getting you out the way. Everybody that left Egypt wasn't qualified for the promised land. And so for 40 years, God did a weeding out process. And this new generation that Joshua is leading is not the generation that left Egypt. This generation is ready to move forward. This generation don't believe in the status quo. They want to give God praise. You see, the generation that's coming up in the church now, they're not concerned about church clothes, and they're not concerned about getting their nails done on Sunday. They're not concerned about walking in church and getting recognized. They just want to get the church to move to where God wanted to move. They don't mind giving. They don't mind shouting. They don't mind praising, because they want the church to move. But always know there's going to always be a group that don't want the church to do nothing. There's always a group that sits in the church and believe that the church belonged to them. That before we move, we've got to give their permission. Before we move forward, we got to make sure that they are okay with it. But what happens when you die? Who do we ask then? So while you're alive, I'm going to ask the right one, and his name is God. I don't care how long, can I just tell you the way I feel it? I don't care how long you've been a member here. You don't have the right to decide where God moving the church. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail. Some of us believe because of longevity and membership that we have entitlement. This still is God's house. And so everyone that left Egypt didn't make the promised land. Look at verse 6. The Lord God spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Write this down. To move forward, number one, you have to forsake the familiar. You have to leave your Horeb. And you to forsake the familiar, you must know that the provisions are not permanent. When God is providing for them in Horeb, it's not permanent, it's just temporary. And in this mountain, they experienced manna, quail, the nurturing of God. Everything that they needed, God gave it to them. And then they got so complacent. They got so satisfied. I see no need to move. Everything we need is being provided. But the only thing is that the land that they are dwelling in didn't belong to them. God wanted them to get to the land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And can I help you out? Whatever it is that God has promised you, I don't care how many people apply for it, it's yours. I don't care how many people try to get in your way, it's yours. Have you ever been granted a blessing, but you went up against the odds to get it, and you still ended up with it? Somebody ought to praise God and said, I thought I wasn't going to get it, but somehow.
Amen.
You know, we praise God for open doors, don't we? But can we praise God for the doors that he shut? God shut doors just to put you in the right direction. Because the door you were walking in wasn't the door he promised you. It looked like it, but it just wasn't it. I told him the other night at Rosa Sharon, one thing about counterfeit Christianity, it looks like the real thing. It sounds like the real thing. It claps like the real thing. It shouts like the real thing. But counterfeit money, you can tell is false when you put it up to the light. And I see when you put yourself up to the light, God sees your heart. And I wonder if there's anybody in here testifying and saying, I'm going to forsake the familiar. The familiar is to come to church and sit quiet, and because it don't take all of that to praise God. But I'm going to forsake all of that foolishness, and I come here to lift him up. They were satisfied sitting by Horeb, eating what God had provided.
and just our son of us, we are just satisfied. Attending church, coming to church, eating at church, and we have forgot that we still by Horeb, and it's not where God wants us to be. We've got to get out of the comfort zone. We've got to be willing to move forward. Don't be scared of change. And what disturbs me, Reverend Kirks, with a lot of people, they sit in church and they complain that the church is not doing anything. But soon as somebody joined the church and started working in the church, bringing new fresh flavor to the church, and there you go with your arrogant self. They walking in here and taking over. Well, they just walking in here doing what you should have been doing the 40 years you've been here. You just been, a lot of us just been members and haven't done anything. It's cozy, it's comfortable, it's congenial. I'm happy the way things are. But my brothers and sisters, it's time for us to move forward. And to move forward, we got to forsake the familiar and realize that this is not the place of promise. For the year, they sat there and they settled, living a life of ease. They were accustomed to the surroundings. They were accustomed. Like now, some of us are accustomed to how Mount Zion looks. But when change starts, when you don't walk in and you don't see orange pews anymore, you see royal blue and marble, somebody gonna say thank God for the change. But then you're gonna have a group gonna walk in, this is ugly. Why they picked this color? Who gave them the authority? Some folk would rather sit on those benches where the cushion is tore up than have change. Oh, y'all done got quiet. You have to forsake the familiar. And to forsake the familiar, you have to get ready for change. Somebody asked me one time, Brother West, Pastor, why we don't give out programs anymore? I said, what you need them for? We didn't been here long enough. We already know the routine. What I got to read it when we have the routine. So I helped you out just to put a smile on everybody's face. I told my wife last night, I said, baby, make some programs. The church anniversary, make some programs that somebody can come in and read what we already know we're going to do. Watch this. He tells them to forsake the familiar, but then look at verse 7. He says, turn. Take your journey and go into the mountain of the Amorites and to the places thereupon in the plains and the hills, the vale of the south by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites and Mount Lebanon and to the great river Euphrates. God is giving them the geographical sketch on how to travel to this place. Now, there had been spies sent out. And they spied, Joshua sent 12 spies. And 10 came back with a bad report. 10 said, there are giants in the land, and we can't possess it. But 2 said, I don't care what's in the land. The Lord says ours, then it's ours. You see, a lot of us want something for nothing. We don't want to work for nothing. We don't want to engage in nothing. We don't want to give to nothing. But yet we want the benefits of change. Baby, you got to work for change. And so not only you got to forsake the familiar, but you got to overcome the obstacles. Look, when they said that there were giants in the land, Joshua didn't take the report of the 10 and go with it. He took the report of the 2. Y'all not get what I'm saying? 10 said we can't do it. 2 said we can. Wait a minute, back up. 10 come back and say, Joshua, we're wasting our time. There's no way we can do this. But two said, oh, yes, we can. Y'all know where I'm finna go. Wherever two or three. You know what them two saw? The ten saw the giants, the two saw God. And I don't care how big the giants is, they still have to look up to my God. Look, to get to overcome obstacles, you've got to be willing to put up a fight. And look, God said, when you're going to follow this geographical sketch, you're going to go through this way, and you're going to be able to possess the land. And see, the reason why some of us can't overcome the obstacles, we won't follow God's direction. We won't do what God told us to do. Like some folk, Lord, when the Lord bless us with a new church, I'm going to come in and I'm going to praise the Lord. You ought to praise him now. What's stopping you from praising him now? Bright colors shouldn't make you praise God. Marble shouldn't make you praise God. A brand new renovated sanctuary shouldn't make you. Because I've come up in my mind, if you don't praise him now, you ain't going to praise him then. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice right now just want to praise God for who he is? He doesn't have to do nothing else. He doesn't have to drop another blessing. He don't have to open up a window. I just want to praise him for who he is. Come on, I wish I had somebody. Even on these pews that's beat up and bruised, I still think, oh God, I got a pew to sit on. I wish I had somebody that don't mind praising God. God says, he says, turn. He says, turn, break camp, and move on. He said, because regardless of who's in the land, I told you the land's yours. One thing about things that look big, one preacher illustrated that he went to New York with his son. And then the Twin Towers were still up. And when he got to the front of the foot of the Twin Towers, he looked up and saw how big they were. But as they was leaving New York and they were flying over the city, he looked down and he saw the same Twin Towers. And he said, they're not as big as I thought they were. See, things are only big when you look at it from man's perspective. But you look at it from God's perspective, it's not as big as you think. Oh, I wish I had some. Yes, sir. So we've got to overcome the obstacles. But then not only we forsake the familiar, overcome the obstacles, but finally we've got to possess the promise. He tells them, go in and just take it. You know what's wrong with some of us? We just want God to give it to us. I'm going to stand here and wait. And the Bible says you should wait. But there are some things you just have to go get. You have to get off your blessed assurance and just go and get it. You can't tell me, Pastor, help me get a job while you laying on the sofa with the remote in your hand. You've got to go put in some applications. And then they didn't make it easier for you. You don't even have to leave the house to apply for a job. And you still say, I can't find one. All right. Share this with you now. Leave. Young man, years ago, came across me and said, Pastor, I need work. I have a little baby. I said, man, look, I'm going to pull some strings for you. And I made some phone calls. Got the brother to end. The brother had the job. Showed up for the interview. All he had to do was show up and do right. And when he showed up at the interview, he had on pajama pants and slippers. Man called me and said, Reverend, I can't hire him. I said, what's wrong? He said, he came here right out of bed. Showing me right now that he's lazy. So the brother had the nerve to call me and say, Reverend Green, I thought that you said I had. I said, you did have it, but how did you go dress? He said, I had on my pajamas. He said, what difference does it make how I look? If you said I have the job, I said, brother, you don't, you ever heard a presentation? Amen. Y'all not getting what I'm saying. Right now, it's presentation. We should present ourselves before the Lord. And I wonder what kind of presentation that you're going to present before the Lord this morning. And when I'm talking about presentation, I'm not talking about how you're dressed on the outside. I'm talking about how you look on the inside. God ought to look at you and say, hired. I wish I had somebody to testify and get up and give God your presentation. You already